All right, welcome everybody. So this is going to be our final shiur on the Rambam's position about what the mitzvah of tzedakah is in terms of giving a fifth. Last week we presented one kind of perspective on how to understand the Rambam's position. The Rambam in a number of places writes different things. And we were trying to reconcile those different statements that he makes. In his commentary to the Mishnah in Peah, he seems to say that you can give up to a fifth, or including a fifth, if the needs of the poor person exceed that, then you are not obligated to give, but you can give as a midas chasidus, as going above and beyond the law. In the Rambam, in the Halachos of Tzedakah, in the Yad HaChazakah, he doesn't mention this chasidus element of going above and beyond. Instead, he just says, if somebody asks you for money, you can give up to a fifth as the mitzvah min hamuvchar, as the ideal type of mitzvah. And then, in the Halachos of Hektish, of dedicating things to the Beis HaMikdash and to holy causes, the Rambam there says, "Hamivazveis al yivazveis mechomesh," that you shouldn't give away all your stuff, and the limit is a fifth. So we were trying to figure out how to reconcile all of those things. The explanation that we gave last week was from the Chida and the Toras Zraim, a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, was that there are actually two takanos of takanas usha. In Usha, after the Hadrianic decrees were over and the Sanhedrin moved to Usha, they actually made a two-part takana of a fifth. The first part is when an ani is there, when a poor person is in your face asking for money, so then you can give theoretically more than a fifth. That's okay. However, if the ani is not there and you're just separating money, you can only give up to a fifth, and that's it. There were a few, I would say, quote-unquote shortcomings or things that this explanation did not fully address. The first is that it does not address the distinction that the Rambam seems to make between what you calculate the fifth of. The Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnah, seems to create this distinction between it, when the ani is here, when the ani is in your face, you can give a fifth of all of your assets. When he's not there, it's just a fifth of the profits, of whatever profit you made that year. And the Rambam doesn't seem to mention that in the Yad HaChazakah at all.
So five people you have.
So that also, we have to explain what the Rambam means. The alternative of saying, you know, you just divide it into a fifth and you give it away to the next five people, it's that you have a fifth. And then you give a fifth of whatever is left, and then another fifth of whatever is left. So it'll get increasingly smaller.
It's Zeno.
Exactly, Zeno's paradox, yeah. So that's one weak point. The other is that the Torah Zrum interprets the Gemara in Peah, the Yerushalmi, in a very, very weird way. He says that when Chazal made a takana that you can be mafresh up to a fifth, you can separate up to a fifth of your assets for a mitzvah, we understood that to mean for mitzvos. He says, no. Mitzvah means mitzvah min hamuvchar. And that's where the Rambam gets it from, which is a very hard to understand way to read the Gemara. That's another weak point. I'd like to address those with a different explanation. But before we do that, I do want to point out, I want to kind of show you two other sources in the Rambam that can help explain some things. So the first is if you turn to page 2, the bottom of page 2, it's on the second side of the first page. This is Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos are the halachos of Midos that the Rambam writes. So the Rambam, this is the very opening, he lists sort of his philosophy of what midos are and how to inculcate good midos. So he starts off in Halacha Dalet in source 8, Haderech HaYishara, the straight path, hi mida beinonis, is the middle way. Now, mida means a measurement. So midos mean you calibrate character traits. Character traits exist on a spectrum. And so the Rambam says the best path or the straight path is the middle path. Shebichol deya videya, with every character trait, mikol hadeya sheyesh lo adam, whatever character trait a person has. Vihi hadeya shehi rechoka mishtei haktzavos richuk shove, ve'ena krov is lo zo ve'lo lezo. It's the exact middle that doesn't skew towards any of the extremes of a personality trait. And therefore he says that the Chazal, Chachamim, told you to always be careful and to keep your midos in check. And then he gives an example. If you go to the third line, he says, Ketzad, how is this? Lo yehe bal chema, noach lichos. You shouldn't be like this angry person that's very quick to anger. Velo kemesh eino margish. And you shouldn't be like a dead person that doesn't feel anything. Ela beinani, rather you should be a middle person. Lo yichos al davar gadol. Lo yichos ella al davar gadol sheroi lichos alav kidei shelo yase kayotze bo pam acheres. You should get angry when somebody did something really bad and you don't want them to do it again, and by displaying anger they won't do it again. And then he gives other examples about essentially, you know, bodily pleasures, eating, drinking, sleeping, anything. Then if you turn the page to page 3, go to the bold part. So he says, V'lo yikpots yado biyoser, you shouldn't close your hand so much. V'lo yifazer mamono. And on the flip side, you shouldn't just spend all your money, or what, you shouldn't send all your money away. Ela no sein staka kfimasis yado, umilve karoi lemishitzarech. Give what you're capable of giving, lend what you're capable of lending, and that's it. And then go to the next underlined part. V'derech zo hi derech chachamim. And this path of the middle is the path of the wise person. Kol adam shedeos of deos beinonios mima'atzos. Any person whose character traits are in the middle, nikra chacham, is called a wise person. Now, go to the next halacha, halacha hey. U'mishehu medaktek al atzmo biyoser. Somebody that is very, very careful about what they do and distances themselves a little bit from the middle is called a chassid. So the Rambam says, even though the target for everybody is the middle, and that makes you the wise person, there's a concept called chassidus, going above and beyond, which means skewing a little bit away from the median to go above and beyond. Go to the second underlined part. V'chassidim harishonim, and chassidim hayumatin deyosav shalahan miderechem tzos kineged shteyak tzavos. There were people that as a practice would skew their character traits a little towards the extreme. And but then the Rambam finishes off in the final underlined part. Umitzuvin anu laleches bedrachim ha'elu habeinanim, v'hem hadrachim v'hatovim v'hayisharim. So we are obligated to follow the middle path. So the Rambam creates two paradigms here. He has the path of the chacham, which we're obligated to do, and the path of the chassid, which is to skew a little bit. So now, when the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says that if you want to give more than a fifth, you're called a chassid, but you're obligated, the mitzvah, is to take the middle path. So now I can understand why the Rambam doesn't list this midas chassidus in the halachos of tzedakah. Why? Because it's not a halacha. We're not obligated to do this, and it may not be even something that we're supposed to strive for as a value of tzedakah. If we want to be a chassid, okay, that's our cheshbon, that's our private relationship with God that we have to take it, we have to do an accounting with. And it might even be a good thing. But that's not part of hilchos tzedakah. That's a hilchos midos thing. So that's why the Rambam may have mentioned it as a passing remark in his commentary to the Mishnah, because he's trying to explain it. But when it comes to the halachos of tzedakah, it's not relevant. I want to bring out one more point, which is the pasuk that the Rambam quotes, the last two words. The Rambam says, we are obligated to follow the median path, shenemar v'halachta bidrachav. that you should follow in his footsteps. So what is, whose footsteps are we talking about? God's, which is, it's just fascinating. Meaning we're saying that we should follow God in the middle path. Apparently God's not a chassid, I don't know. Turn the page to the next halacha, halacha vav. Kach lamdu b'peirish mitzvazu. And this concept of a halachta v'drachav is what the sages taught. Mahu nikra chanun, af ata heye chanun. Just like God is gracious, so too you should be. Mahu nikra rachum, just like he's called mercy, so should you. Mahu nikra kadosh, just because he's called holy, you should also be.
But these are incentives, these are extremes. Or rather, they're whole attributes.
Correct, yeah. So the Rambam kind of glosses over. All of these things, kadosh, rachum, chanun, all those things exist on a spectrum. So the Rambam seems to be saying that it's not only the fact that we're supposed to follow these traits in general. Somehow, God follows the median path, which is a little hard to understand.
One second. If I get angry, I'm a chassid.
Yeah. Well, I glossed over this in the Rambam. The Rambam actually addresses that point. I kind of skipped it, but the Rambam says, if you look in the halachos, the Rambam says that when a chassid skews in one direction, he says it depends on the midah. You know, some midos you're supposed to skew one way, some you're supposed to skew the other way. So yeah, you are correct. You would not be called a chassid, you would be called a rasha. But yeah, so the Rambam means that.
Another question. If this is what the Rambam is saying, then Noyachta Bidracha, there's also a couple of other psukim around.
Yeah, so there are other general psukim of interpersonal conduct that I don't want. It's a good question. I don't want to get into those right now.
That's more Ramban. That's very known for that.
Yeah, the Ramban is an advocate of Asisa Yashavato. Yeah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it's a judicial concept. There's different ways you can take those psukim. It's a good question. I don't want to get into it now, though. Something that Rabbi Daniel Feldman, I mentioned last year, something that he pointed out is that tzedakah, by its very nature, accentuates the difference between me and God. God can give infinitely, and it doesn't cost him anything. Because A, God doesn't have any needs, and B, he's infinite. Or it's sort of two sides of the same coin. Me, though, the very essence of Hilchos Tzedakah, which the sages imposed limits on, mean that I have to care about myself first. I don't want to get poor. I'm not supposed to get poor. And the fact that I could get poor means I'm not like God. And yet it's this very concept that the Rambam uses as an example to say, be like God.
By definition, we are limited entities.
Right. No.
Vis-a-vis the infinite that you're saying, it's immediately raised.
Yeah. No. You're 100%, and it exists with all midos. What I'm saying is, tzedakah really brings that to the forefront because we're talking about a finite bank account that everybody can see, and by me doing chassidus, I'm actually being less like God to a certain extent. Why? Because if I give away all my money, then I lack. So I'm not being like God in a certain sense. Just to think about. That's one source which I think explains, though, why the Rambam did not mention this Midas Chassidus in the rest of his halachos. The other point, though, and this source was shown to me by Rabbi Scott Hoberman. He was listening to the shiur on his commute to work, and he thought of this source that he wanted to show me. It's Igeres Teman, source number 9. So Igeres Teman is a letter that the Rambam wrote to the people of Yemen, as its name indicates. They were going through a very tough time religiously, economically, politically, and to top it all off, there was this guy. We don't know his name. Some people think we know his name. We're not exactly sure. There was a... What? Okay. There was a guy who was going around purporting to be Mashiach and advocating this sort of hybrid religion of Judaism and Islam, and making everybody's life very confusing and complicated. And so they asked the Rambam for guidance. So the Rambam pens this letter. And this excerpt is where he basically calls the Talmud Chacham who wrote this letter to him an idiot for thinking that this guy is Mashiach. He says, "Aval ma shezacharta me'esek ha'ish she'u omer she'hu Mashiach ba'arei Teman." This that she wrote about, that there's this guy walking around the cities of Yemen saying he's Mashiach. "Da shelo tamati mimenu velo min ha'maminim bo lefi ishehu mishageya b'li safek." He's crazy. "Ve'ein al ha'chola eshma u'pesham lo yisavev u'cholav." Basically, again, he's crazy. Something's wrong with him. "V'chein eini tema min ha'ma'aminim mikotzerucha mish'enim yodim makom ha'mashiach u'ma'alasa ha'gdola sh'aleh b'datam zeh." And, you know, I don't have very high expectations of the average person there that's not so educated that they think he's Mashiach. "Aval ani toma mimcha." I'm surprised at you. "Sh'atam ibnei Torah v'almanet al sifrei chachamim." You're confused, and yet you're a Talmud Chacham. How could you be confused about this guy? "Lefi shehu ikar etzlenu, she'ein hanevua shora ela al chacham gibor v'ashir." Prophecy, which is one of the qualities of Mashiach, only rests on a wise, strong, and wealthy person. "Ubiuro sha'afilu gibor sha'yakovish es yitzrao." Gibor doesn't mean physically strong. Means somebody that has strong moral character. "V'ashir, ashir bidaito," doesn't have to mean, you know, physically wealthy. It means wealthy in knowledge. "Avo kishayamid adam she'enu meforsen b'chachmar." If this random person just shows up, who has no prior reputation of being a wise person, "v'yomer shehu navi," and he just proclaims himself as a prophet, "einanu ma'minimo," so we don't believe him. "Kol shekein im yomer echad me'amei ha'aretz shehu Mashiach." And all the more so, if you know that this is just some random, you know, non-spectacular person that just claims to be Mashiach. "V'ata harayo shu am ha'aretz," and one of the proofs that he's an uneducated person, "Shesiva lefazer adam kol mamono." This guy, who is Mashiach, is walking around telling everybody to give away all their money to tzedakah. Now, well, let me just finish. "V'sheyis nadvu la'aniyim." And they should donate it to aniyim, to poor people. Now, it's not, we don't know, and the Rambam isn't clear as to what that donation looked like. Meaning, I don't know if he was walking around with a Mashiach, you know, donor advised fund that he wanted people to invest in him. Right. Or he was just saying, you know, give your money to charity. Look, here's a poor guy, give it to him. So it may be that. "V'chol hashomim lo," and anybody who listens to him, "heim tipshim," they're stupid. "V'hu chote," and he's a sinner, "she'osa hepech haTorah," because he's going against what the Torah says, "Hoel ve'ein roi l'torosenu la'asos tztaka mikol mamono ela miktsasa." You are not supposed to, according to our Torah, give tzedakah with all your money, just a portion. "Shekein kasuv," he quotes the pasuk that we read last week, "ach kol hacherim asher yachrim la'ashem mikol asher lo." You give something to God from yours. "Ve'amru mikable hashmu," and the sages say, "mikol asher lo v'lo kol asher lo." Not all your stuff, some of all your stuff. "V'samu l'nedava," and they gave to, listen to this word, donations. "Geder u'gvul," so a fence and a limit. "V'hu ha'chomesh," and that is the chomesh. "Amru ha'mevazvez al yevazvez yoser mi'chomesh." Okay. "V'ein safek she'sichlo v'libo she'nasa'u lomar shehu Mashiach hu asher nasu l'tzavos b'nei adam latzis mi'kol kinyaneihim." So the same, you know, motivation that he has to proclaim himself as Mashiach is the same stupid motivation that he's telling everybody to give away all their money. And he says, why is this a bad idea? "V'nasu heimaniyim," so all the people that will give away their money will become poor. "V'ha'aniyim ashirim," and then those poor people will become rich. "V'chayvu atzmam min hadin l'hachzer lehem mamon," and then those new rich people will have to be obligated to give their money back to the now poor people, formerly rich people. And then the money's just going to keep going back and forth. And he says, and this is utter stupidity. Or as the English that I copied it from says, is the acme of folly. This is
the. You know, by the way, how you finish with Mashiach, right? How you finish it live?
No.
You say, chop my head, and you see a wound.
He said, chop off the. Okay. All right.
I didn't. Chopped his head.
I did not know that. Okay.
And by the way, the same thing happened in the 11th century, unfortunately, in Morocco.
Oh, really? They had a false Messiah there, too?
Derry. He told him, sell all your property, etc. I'm the Mashiach, because it's going to be blood of rain. And it was Hamra, you know, the red soil.
Oh.
It was real rain. It looked like blood, you know.
Ah.
And then Pesach, and he ran away to Egypt, and people really became a poor.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So
miracle?
It happened in Amsterdam as well.
Yeah, so this was... Yeah, so this was not, unfortunately, this was not a new phenomenon, you know, this is not a new phenomenon. We've had false messiahs that have encouraged, not even for their own personal gain, just encouraged people to sell all their property, and people became very poor because of that. But when we've seen in the Gemara about Takanas Usha, they said, oh, you might become poor and have to rely on the community. Here, the Rambam takes it up a notch, and he points out the utter stupidity of it, because he says the money's just going to keep going back and forth. So in this picture, for those of you that ever watched Monty Python, so they had a... They had a running sketch on one of the episodes called Dennis Moore. He's basically like a Robin Hood. He would go across the English countryside, rob the rich, and give money to the poor. And he kept on doing it so much that he took all the rich people's stuff, gave it to the poor people, and then the poor people said, you know, can you actually steal us some good stuff now? We're so rich. All this silver that you're getting us doesn't cut it anymore. And the theme song that they would play for him is Dennis Moore, he steals from the rich to give to the poor. So at the end, they switched the order. He steals from the poor to give to the rich. He steals from the poor to give to the rich. And he stops and he says, what? What'd you say? He asks the choir. So the choir repeats it. And he says this line on the bottom, this redistribution of wealth is trickier than I thought. And it ends with him sticking up a stagecoach and not taking anything, but just counting out how much everybody has and just tries redistributing it among everybody in the stagecoach, and then gets upset when they try to hide things from him. And that's what the Rambam is pointing out. All kidding aside, if we have that Rambam, if we have that this Rambam statement, coupled with what he said in Hilchos Deos, that Hilchos Deos is that you have this median, and you're supposed to and obligated to take that middle path, but if you want, you can go a little bit more one way, you can go a little bit more the other way, depending on what the situation requires for you to be called a chassid. And you have what he says here, that the concern is literally giving away all your money. And that's dumb. So there's a big gap between a fifth and all your money, i.e. four-fifths. So according to the Rambam, there's no steros, there's no contradictions at all. Midas chasidus means I'm going to give a little bit more than a fifth. Doesn't mean five-fifths. You're not allowed to give five-fifths, but I could give maybe two-fifths if I want to be a chassid. And there's no problem with what the Rambam says in Igeres Teman then. Why? Because the Rambam in Igeres Teman is saying that I just don't, it's usher and stupid to give away all your money. If you want to be a chassid, you could give away more than a fifth, and that's okay. So, if that is true, what case is the Rambam talking about in Igeres Teman? Is there an ani in front of him or not in front of him? Again, it's hard to know the exact circumstances, but from the language in the Rambam in Igeres Teman, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's anybody in front of their faces that's collecting. The language is Visamu linadava, just giving gifts.
I have to get off the road for 1 second.
Okay.
Ask you, does this hold for religious philosophy too, to be in the middle of the road?
So, that is a very good question.
Because you mentioned Chassidus and you mentioned the other side.
Yeah.
And it's always been, I mean, if you want to talk about somebody who tried to take the middle of the road, Rabbi Cook tried to take the middle of the road. And he never, you know.
Yeah, so to digress for a minute, the Rambam's character, you're coming with this framework of Kodesh and Chol.
You're talking about money, and you're talking about Kodesh and Kol. And
right,
that.
But the Rambam, if you looked in those character traits, I didn't read all of them, but if you look in the character traits that the Rambam gives an example, some of them are physical stuff, but some of them are not physical. So I think that the Rambam may think that there's more overlap than we generally think about it. But in terms of overall striving, I think the language that the Rambam uses is very accurate. There's what's called mitzvah. The mitzvah, the obligation, or the mitzvah min hamuvchar, even, is to take that middle path, a fifth, or whatever that looks like in any mitzvah. There is a certain, and that is emulating God. There is a certain additional element of going above and beyond to be a chassid, which is something laudable but isn't obligatory. So I think there may be a little bit more of an overlap, but I don't know for sure. That's what I would say.
Well, I'm saying there's no mitzvah. It's a government. You give a penny, that's your mitzvah.
Right. So
you can't say that the fifth is a mitzvah.
So the Rambam, if you turn to the first page, so the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, he says, the first source, Bo ha'oni, the onui comes, v'shal de machsoro, he says, I need X amount of money, v'ein yad ha'nosein maseges nosein lo kfi asagas yadon, you don't have the enough money to fill that need, so you give what you can, v'kama ad chamishis nechasav mitzvah min hamuvchar. So for the Rambam, there's a difference between chasidus and mitzvah min hamuvchar. Mitzvah min hamuvchar means it's within the realm of the mitzvah, but there are different levels to that mitzvah. Just like you said, if I give him a penny, so I've fulfilled that mitzvah. If I give more, I've done a bigger mitzvah. If I give more than a fifth, did I do a bigger mitzvah of tzedakah? I don't know. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I did more chesed, I mean, that's very clear, and I did chasidus. But was it a bigger idea of tzedakah? Maybe not. The Rambam is saying that there is a spectrum for certain mitzvahs called mitzvah min hamuvchar. We're obligated to do the mitzvah, and mitzvah min hamuvchar means I'm fulfilling God's commandment in the best way possible when I do that. If I want to go above and beyond, it doesn't mean I'm fulfilling God's commandment any better. I'm doing something else that's good. That's chasidus or whatever that is.
Is that good?
Well, again, from the Rambam, it seems to be that at certain times it's good, but it's not something that necessarily we expect or should aspire to be.
Okay, let's phrase this another way.
Okay.
According to the Rambam.
Yeah.
Mitzvah Ramuvchor or whatever else, the 20% number is an interesting number because that assumes that that's the Beinonis. And assumes...
No, a tenth is a Beinonis.
Huh?
A tenth is a Beinonis, the Rambam says. 20% is mitzvah min hamuvchar.
Okay. Either way, doesn't it depend if you're a rich man or a poor man? How much you can afford to give?
Right. A percentage is a percentage. But for some people, that percentage may be more significant. Meaning if you're only making $30,000 a year, then 20% of that will be significantly much more significant to you than to somebody that's making $1 million a year.
Right.
It could be. So you're right. And that's why the Rambam says, look, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah the best way possible, you do that. But like, if that's not within your means, so you don't have to do that. You could take the middle route and give 10%. And if you can't even do that, so give more than a shlishis a shekel. Give more than a third of a shekel and you're good. That's what I'm saying. There's a spectrum to the mitzvah. So one second, now I've lost my train of thought here for a minute. No, it's okay. These are all good points. What?
You have corpus
of. Yeah, I didn't get there yet. Yeah, we'll get there in a second. Right. So if we understand, this is where I was going. If we understand that according to the Rambam, there's nothing inherently wrong with going above and beyond a little bit, so then there is, I think we can begin to explain the differences between the Rambam in different places. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says there's that Midas Chasidus. Right? So the Midas Chasidus is to give more. That's not a Hilchos Tzedaka thing. If we're talking about Hilchos Tzedaka, the aspiration is to give up to a fifth. In Hilchos Charamim, in the Halachos of Hektish, of just separating your money away, so there, we're not talking about mitzvah min hamuvchar. What are we talking about? We're just talking about dedicating your money. That's not tzedakah per se. That's just giving away your money for good things. So there we have hamavazvez al yavazvez mechomesh. Don't waste your money more than a fifth. But here's the point that I want to bring out. According to the language of the Rambam in Igeres Teiman, the Rambam is not differentiating between whether there's a poor person in your face or not. Last week, we quoted the Chidah and the Torah Zoraim that said there were two takanos, there were two differences between, there were two different parts to this takanos usha. One is where there's an ani, a poor person in your face, and there you can give more than a fifth. You can give more if you want to be a chassid. And when there's no ani there, then that's it. There's no inyan of being a chassid. In that case, you give a fifth, and that's the limit. Don't waste any more. Any more is not chasidus, it's wasting. According to the way I'm explaining the Rambam, you don't need to make that distinction. According to the way we're reading the Rambam now, separating your money for a fifth might be more than a fifth might be chasidus in any scenario, whether there's a poor person in your face or not. It has to do with tzedakah. If I want to give tzedakah, so according to the Rambam, the only problem is giving away all your money, because that's stupid. But if I want to give a little bit more than a fifth just because I'm a chassid or I want to become a chassid, that might not be a problem. Even if the ani's not there. If I just want to dedicate some more money to be a good person or to be a better person, that's okay. And now we come to the Rikorkus, which is this is similar to what he says. If you go to the last page of the photocopy, the Rikorkus was one of the commentaries on the Rambam. It wasn't published until recently, so some of the editions of the Rambam don't have it. It is somewhat lengthy, and it's only on certain sections. But the Rikorkus has an explanation of the Rambam, which is similar to what we just said. He says, V'nira, it appears, Shedas Rabbeinu, that the opinion of the Rambam, D'kishebo ani v'sha'a, Chayev lasseis lo, De machsoro ad chomesh. You are obligated to give up to a fifth. V'imba ani acher. Now here comes his interesting part. Chomesh mehanishar. You are obligated to give up to a fifth, not of your profits, but a fifth of whatever remains of your assets. You don't have to. You could give a tenth, or you could give something else. But it is okay, and even aspirational, to give up to a fifth of whatever remains, v'chein le'olam, and that's forever. Aval, mifazer b'mitzvos, but if you're just like the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says, just spending on mitzvos, chayev lefazer chomesh pam achas levad, then it's just you only have to give a fifth once in your lifetime, shemata omer b'chol shana, because if you're going to do it every year, then the Yerushalmi's question resurfaces, you'll give away all your money. Now, you could ask the same thing about tzedakah, and we didn't have a problem with that. You just give a fifth of what's left. So why not do that for every year? So that's an interesting question. But the Rikorkus says that's the difference. The difference is whether we're talking about tzedakah or other mitzvos. Vahainu, Hahi desof Hilchos Erchin v'Charamin. And that is what the Rambam meant at the end of Hilchos Erchin v'Charamin. So now if you go down to the next underlying part, he says, Umemela atalamad. And from here we can learn. She'im harviach od, if you get more money throughout the course of the year, yafrish chomesh revach. So then you separate a fifth on whatever profits you made. That's what the Rambam meant. You want to know why the Rambam never mentioned the concept of taking a fifth on the profits or separating a fifth on the profits? Because that's obvious. That's obvious what we mean, because otherwise you're just going to be doing it time and time again. And then he asks, well, in the next underlined part, well, the Yerushalmi thought that that was a problem, so how come the Rambam didn't spell it out? Rambam wasn't too concerned. Once he writes that you're talking about spending away all your money, you understand that that's what it means. So the Rikorka says there is absolutely no difference between whether there's an ani in front of you or whether there's no ani in front of you. Doesn't matter. The difference is whether it's tzedakah or I'm separating for just general mitzvah purposes. When it comes to tzedakah, and I didn't say this part explicitly, but if you look in the Rikorkas, he says it doesn't just mean that there's a guy collecting and, you know, during davening, like if you go to like a place in Muncie, they're just walking around with a tzedakah box. It doesn't mean that.
Here too,
yeah.
Who's that going to?
And it goes to the Marty Fund, yeah. So it doesn't mean that. It means when there is a very legitimate need, like a very acute need, like somebody is starving, or somebody's a captive, or somebody can't afford clothing or rent. If it's just, you know, to help somebody out, pay the bill, so that's part of your general good deed mitzvah separation. So that, you do one-fifth once, and then it's just a fifth on the profits year after year. But when it comes to real tzedakah, so it doesn't matter if he's in your face or not, you can decide, I am dedicating even more. So now the question is, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between tzedakah and all other mitzvahs? Why by tzedakah, every single time a guy shows up, I got to give him up to a fifth of my total assets, as opposed to when it comes to other mitzvahs who are not such important tzedakah, and I'm just creating this general mitzvah allocation fund, it's only on the profits. Where is the Rambam getting that distinction from? And why is there that distinction? So I think to answer that question, and with this we'll close, go back to the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah. This is the beginning of page 2. So the Rambam, there's three columns. So if you look in the middle column, so the Rambam explains what the takana of Chomesh is. So in the second line, in the middle column, he says, "Ubior inyan zeh ledaiti hu kfi shafarish." This is what I think the idea is. "Vehu she'im ra adam shvuyim." If you see somebody held captive, and they need money to redeem them, "O re'evim, o arumim," where they're starving, where they're naked, "Nidrishu mimenu la'achilam." You are obligated to address those needs. Shenemar de machsoro asher yachsar lo. You have to fill those needs. V'hainu sheyishalem lo kol ma shechasar lo. Whatever they lack, nischayev lahashlem lahem kol machsoram. You have to fill all those needs. Rak ba'od shehaya machsoram u'ma shadarish lahem lepidyon. Pachos mechamishis memono o chamishios aso. As long as their needs are equal then or less than your a fifth of your total assets, then you are obligated to fill that need. Aval, but im hutzrichu liyoser mimenu hareze nosein hachamishis bilvad umistalek. You can just dispense with the fifth and move on. Ve'ein alav avon, and you have no sin. Behimano mihashlamas kol mashem tzrichim lo, by withholding payment. So the Rambam is saying that mitzvah tzedakah is unique in the sense that every time I close my hand or I close my checkbook, I'm potentially being over a mitzvah slosase. So the shear of Chomesh says there are certain times when you're not going to transgress that lav. But every single time I would potentially close my hand is a new mitzvah opportunity, and I have to do that. But now see the next part. Aval im lo nizdamein lo davar mimashe hizkarnu. But when there is nobody around, hare ze mafrish hachomesh min harevach lo min hakeren. When there's nobody around, when there's no acute needs, then you just give a fifth of the profits. So what I want to explain, what I want to suggest at least, is that there's, when I separate, if I separate money for tzedakah, right, when there's no ani around, and I just separate money into a pile, have I done anything good? Not really. I mean, it's nice. This money may actually have a special status. It's setting it aside, but I didn't do anything. And if I close my hand, there's no avera. It's just I'm deciding to move money into another fund. So when we try to, like, break up time and places into mitzvah units, how do you do that over here? There is no time or mitzvah unit over here. There's nothing here. So then we default to the basic unit of time, which is a year. Why a year is the default, the Noda B'Yehuda deals with, and we could talk about that another time. But when there's no negative avera that creeps up every single instant, so then it's just a fifth on whatever I have this year. But when something new confronts me, well, now the whole clock restarts again. Now I got to give again. And theoretically, I could give even more if I want to as chassidus. But I could give as more that I want to as a chassidus to any case. The Rambam over here, he doesn't talk about the chassidus when there's no ani in front of him. But theoretically, there might not be a problem with that if I'm dedicating it to what? If I'm dedicating it to aniyim in a very acute situation. So, for example, if I say I'm setting up an account to give, and I'm going to create a Pidyon Shvuyim fund, if I'm creating an account to give a Pidyon Shvuyim fund, so it doesn't matter that there's no Pidyon Shvuyim here. Theoretically, I could give more than a Chomesh to become a Chassid, and it's just that I can't give away everything. But if there's no Aniyim around, and I'm just, you know, sort of creating this fund for whatever mitzvah opportunity comes around, maybe it's tzedakah, maybe it's to buy a lulav, maybe it's to lend money to somebody, it could be anything. So there, we don't have chassidus in that, because you're not doing anything. I'm not giving away anything, I'm just putting it into a different pile. So there's no element of chassidus. Yes. So
we are restricting pidyon shvuyim, the amount, and we know people did not comply with the halacha. But usually, when we spoke about individual, people gave much more. We have the Gemara and have a reality. But as a father, Halacha and Tosfot and Rishonim v'Achonim, all of them speaking about limitations.
Yeah. So there are limitations about pidyon shvuyim,
which is very very plausible to the logical situation.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right that there are limits that Chazal and the Rishonim put in place, and oftentimes people didn't listen to them because they wanted to help out. But putting that aside, I think now this is a better way to understand the Rambam. The Rambam has absolutely no problem with somebody wanting to give a little bit more than a fifth to an actual cause if they want to be a chassid. The Rambam does have a problem if you give away all your money. And there's also a distinction between real acute tzedakah need, and not just if the ani isn't there, but general mitzvah stuff. Because separating for general mitzvah stuff isn't anything. And if you close your hand, you didn't do anything bad. You just didn't move it into a mitzvah pile. But if there's an ani that's walking around and says, I need you to give me money, and I close my hand, so then I would be theoretically transgressing a mitzvah if I closed my hand. So then the clock restarts, and the expectation or the goal is to give a fifth, not of the profits, but wherever I am in time and place with my financial assets right now.
Yeah, but that gets to be
Right. So
the maximum is seven people.
No, so the Recorca says that it's a fifth, and then a fifth of what's left, and then a fifth of what's left, and then a fifth of what's left.
And that gets
David, you think about Recorca name? That you take 116.
So, again, you will end up giving less as time progresses, because you'll have less money, unless you make money in throughout the year also.
That's what they say.
But that's I think the better way to understand the Rambam. Mirtz Hashem, what I want to do next time around is to talk about how the sages were able to institute this fifth. Meaning, how could they just tell you don't have to give more money if the Torah says you can? And also, are there exceptions to this one-fifth rule? Are there cases where theoretically you could give more even if the ani is not in front of you? And we'll extend that also to other mitzvah cases, like lulav, for example. So mitzvah Hashem, see you next time.